Good evening, Audio Mo. Well, I'm outside, but in my back garden on what is like a November evening. Don't know if you can hear the wind in the trees. And I'm sure you'll be able to hear it on the microphone. I'm just bringing the dogs out after their dinner. And I haven't been out today. I haven't been out for the last couple of days. So my Audio Mo's got a bit messed up, but I will get back on track tomorrow because we've just had a bit of a few upside-down, topsy-turvy days with my husband working at night. Big boy sick. It really reminds me of November. Go on, then, off you go. I am not going to sit out here to do this. No way. The dog's gone running around the garden now. I'm not playing with you. You've just had your dinner, boy. What you got there, a ball? Oh, your sheep. You can bring that in. Come on, bring it in. Anyway, I'll continue this in a while because I've got quite a serious topic to talk about today, not just the weather. Let me just have one more blast of the wind. Here it comes. On a summer's day, I love this because it sounds like it's the sea. But on a summer's evening, I would like to be going for a lovely walk in the sunshine or sitting outside in my garden. And it's not weather for either thing. Listen to that. Anyway, I'll speak in a minute when I get back in the warm. Okay, I'm back inside now. Close my bedroom door because the kids' TVs are both on and Roland's is a bit loud. He hasn't got the door shut. Okay, what I want to talk about, I'm not really sure what I'm going to say yet, but I just want to just air my feelings really. Excuse me. Obi came home this morning after a 12-hour shift at the care home, which is specifically for people with dementia, and he said he's had a very interesting experience. Now, I ended up being... He wasn't really that upset or bothered about it. I mean, obviously, no one likes it, but I was very upset. I was very angry. As of the days gone on, I've had a chance to think about it a bit more, and, well, I don't know what can be done about it, really. The situation was this. They'd had a new resident admitted on Saturday. Admitted, that sounds like it's a hospital, but you know what I mean. She'd come to stay there on Saturday. And she doesn't sleep at night at all. She doesn't stop talking the whole time. She's very obnoxious and extremely verbally abusive. And to a certain extent, physically as well. He was warned that she had been racially abusive to some of the staff. There are other black residents as well. And there's different nationalities. There's Chinese and Indian people work there. And so he was warned she had been racially abusive to other members of staff. So at first she was okay with him. He had to take her. I won't mention any names of anybody or the home or anything. Or the company that runs it. He had to take her upstairs in the lift. She was okay at first. She was saying, "You better watch out, the people work here," and she was saying all kinds of derogatory things about them. And then, for some unknown reason, best known to herself and probably not even known to herself, she started on him. She was racially abusive, very racially abusive. She said, "You should go back to your own country. You're wanted by the police. You're going to end up in prison. You've done this. You've done that." And obviously, the first night he was there, he wasn't on her ward, so he didn't really have any dealings with her. So last night he was on her ward. And she constantly wants coffee all the time. Now, because it's her human right to have what drink she likes and wants, and that's how it should be, they're not allowed to refuse her. So she's constantly drinking coffee, which is obviously aggravating her lack of sleep. And her liveliness in the verbal department, I should imagine, as well. And she keeps going into the kitchen, and she's not allowed in there for safety reasons to try and make her own drinks and stuff. And she keeps trying to put the microwave on with nothing in it, and she's just totally unsafe. So at one point he tried to get her out of the kitchen, to tell her to come out of the kitchen, and she said, "Get away from me, get this creature away from me. What is it anyway? You're so ugly." Now, my husband is not ugly. Lots of people said he's very handsome, actually. He's got a lovely face. He's got very smiling eyes, and you know, he's got a very nice way with him generally. So he didn't retaliate or retort. You just can't. So anyway, this all went on all night. If it wasn't one thing, it was another. She said he was a lazy sod, told him to bugger off and piss off and F off all the time. He was sitting at the table with her, and she was in the lounge, and all the other residents were in bed on his ward anyway. And he was writing reports. They have to write reports. He said that's the worst bit of the job, actually. You have to write reports on people. You have to check on them in the night every half an hour, even when they're asleep, and in the daytime every 15 minutes. So at night, you go around, he has 10 people that he has to check on, and he just goes around. By the time he's finished writing the reports, I think it's time to start going around and checking them all again. So he was sitting at the table writing out his reports on everybody, what they're doing, at what time, if they had a drink, if they went to the toilet, you know, all that sort of stuff. And she told him to bugger off away from the table and go and sit somewhere else. And she pushed the table up against him, so he moved to another table, but then she still kept on. And then she, you know, she'd go on to something else, and then she'd go constantly haranguing him the whole night. And, you know, obviously she doesn't really know what she's saying, but it makes me wonder that if she was ever a very nice person, because she's a sort of really treacherous old person that could get someone hanged, spreading gossip and rumours and saying all sorts of totally outrageous things about someone she doesn't know. Whether this has happened to someone in her life, I don't know. I won't even go into all the things that she came out with. And then at one point, she actually threw a chair at him and it hit him in the leg. Now, the awful thing about it all is that he didn't know he's supposed to write it down in the report, because care in the community and care home care is slightly different, but no one's ever told him that in the community, when you go into someone's home, if they are rude to you or that you're racially or physically abused, you aren't allowed to write it in their notes, because those notes aren't supervised all the time, and their family can just come in and read it. What's wrong with that if it's really happened? I don't know, but that's the policy. So no one told him that it's different in the care home. So in the morning, when he went to sign out, he said three of the managers and some of the other staff that were just coming on duty were talking about all the incidents in 2 days that had happened, and they're trying to get this woman basically moved out of the home, because she's upsetting other residents as well. One lady got up in the night and came into the lounge, and because I think she could hear her ranting and raving, and she said, what's the matter with you? Stop being so rude. Given that she's reached a certain level of dementia as well, this lady, who the one that's had all the mouth, she, you know, she'd sit there and know what the time was, and she knows it's in the middle of the night, but obviously she's, you know, reached a stage where she's not considered safe to live at home or whatever. I don't know her history. But the other lady came in and said, what's all this noise about? And she said, it's him over there, you know, this, that. And he wasn't even, you know, he was just writing his notes out. And so she said, what's he, don't be so rude and all that. And she said, and in the end, the other lady kept going on, the one that's obnoxious kept shouting out. And the other lady said, oh, shut up, like that. And she said, the other one said, get away from me, you evil old cow. And then she started crying. And so he had to take the other lady, he had to reassure her and take her back into her room and make sure she got back into bed safely. And then, of course, that all has to go in the report. So the thing is now, none of this has been logged. I think that might have been because it was to do with another patient. But the stuff that she did to him and said to him, he didn't write down because he didn't think he was supposed to. But apparently in a care home, it's different. You have to write everything down. So that would be more evidence to get her moved. But the problem is, obviously she has the human right to be able to drink what she wants and to sit in the lounge, and that's how it should be. I don't believe, and I hope that we've moved away from the days of when people like this were just drugged up to the eyeballs, basically, and just sat in a chair like a zombie. And now I think they do try to interact with them. They arrange a lot of activities for them during the day to keep their mind and body occupied. So, but the thing is, where do her human rights end, and where do those of the staff and actually the other residents begin? What do you do? What do you do with someone like that? Because wherever she goes, even if she's, I think she's the type of lady, from what I've heard, that even if she went into a place where there wasn't one single foreign person or someone of a different ethnic background, she would find something to have a go at them about, because she didn't just have a go at him about being black, she had a go at him about everything. He owes money and he's apparently done this and done that, and does his wife know this, and if she knows that, he'd be sleeping out on the glass verge, or the grass verge, I think she meant. She'd be sleeping outside tonight and all this. Apparently she was ranting on like this. He said she did not stop. Whether she ever sleeps in the day, I don't know, because he hasn't been there during the day. It hasn't put him off at all, because he's not really that sort of person. It upset me a lot at first, and I was incensed over it. And then I thought, well, you know, I suppose she can't help it. And that's the awful thing. You can't even say, now look here, you can't go around saying that to people, because the next minute she would have forgotten and she won't know what you're talking about. And she gets an idea fixed in her head and that's it. And I don't know what you do. You can't put someone in solitary confinement. They've got to deal with people at some point during the day. And I really don't know. It's a really difficult situation. Luckily, I think most people aren't like that. You probably just get the very odd few that cause a lot of trouble. And they probably, maybe she was like that in when, before she had any problems with dementia, she might have just not been a very nice person. And now she's got no, you know, like the off button has broken, and she's just got free rein, and she just lets it all out, and there's no restraint. And it's all very well saying ignore it, and you have to, but it doesn't mean to say that it makes your job very pleasant when you've got to sit there. It's not like she goes to bed at night and whoever's on duty is having to deal with it, her upsetting other people and being rude to them. And I don't know what you do about it. And it got me to thinking how incensed I was over it, and how that's when it happened to an adult. Now imagine my children were mixed race. They're not, because their dad's white, but and I won't be having any more kids, so you know that's not going to happen. But my sister has got 3 mixed race children. Their dad was born in Jamaica. He sounds like he was born in Britain, but he wasn't. He was born in Jamaica, and then he lived, I don't know what age, but he went to America. And he came to the UK when he was 13 to live permanently. I think he visited other times. And he sounds like a Londoner, you know. But his children are mixed race, obviously. And, you know, I don't know how my sister's coped with... I can remember an occasion when we took him to a play park, one of these soft play areas... And, you know, and I felt terrible about this at the time, but I don't know how she must have felt. I felt bad enough. They came back to the car, and though they were only about, we got back in the car when we'd finished at the end of the day, and they were only about 2 and 3, her little boy and girl. And the other one's a bit older, but they were 2 and 3, and they said, "Mummy, what's a gollywog?" And obviously they'd got the word wrong, it's gollywog. And she said, "Well, who said that to you?" And they said that some of the other children had called him a gollywog when they were up on the top of the slide. And they were so innocent, you know what I mean? And oh, I was so furious. Where have these kids got that kind of stuff from? They're not born thinking that or saying that, are they? Do you know what I mean? And it made me so angry at the time. And if it had been... I don't know, think I could have coped if it was my children. I don't know what I would have done, how I would have coped with it. I'd be interested to know if any of my followers are in this situation, how they cope with it, because I just don't think I could. Not innocent little kids like that. It was bad enough when it was an adult, a full-grown adult. And I felt, I didn't just feel angry at her. I felt let down by my own people. I know that may sound stupid. I felt somehow it was a reflection on me, and I felt very indignant over it, and I felt really bad. I don't feel, I've got, had a chance to think about it now. I haven't really thought about much else all day, to be fair. I've had a chance to come to terms with it and think, well, she can't help it, so she's just one old lady that's very mixed up, and you know, I don't want him to have to put up with, especially the physical abuse, having things thrown at him like that. I'm not happy with that, and I don't think they will allow that to continue. I think somehow she will be put into somewhere. I don't know if there's anywhere like more secure or whatever. I don't know. But as for children, I don't think I could have managed it. And then there was another occasion when I was moving, when I was in the temporary accommodation 3 years ago, and I think I was going to move in here, I can't remember now, excuse me, and I had reason to have dealings with a charity. I won't name it, because I don't really want to incriminate anybody or myself. I had reason to deal with a charity who have volunteers who have all had social work training, or who have formerly been social workers and are now retired. And this particular woman had to take me somewhere, or she was taking me somewhere. It was part of her job, although I don't think she got paid. I think they're all volunteers. Now, she's an ex-social worker. I'd say she was probably about 60 and she was retired, I think. Or maybe she was in her 50s and she might have been medically retired. I don't know. Anyway, the fact is, she was a social worker. So we were going somewhere, and on the way back she said, do you mind if I stop off at such and such a place, because she had to pick something up. And I said, okay. I didn't mind. I wasn't in a particular hurry for anything. Now, I had my younger son in the car. This would have been about 3 years ago, so he was about 13 at the time. And he was sitting in the back. I was in the front with the dog. And so we parked up, and she got out, and she went to do what she had to do. And then she came back to the car, and she got in, and she went, phew. This is the land of brown babies. And you know what? I could have thumped her one. I was so shocked. I mean, and if I thought, if this is, please don't tell me that any social workers have this attitude. And I didn't say anything. There was absolute silence. Like, you could have heard a pin drop, because I felt to give her a load of abuse was wrong. Because, well, I was too stunned, actually. But secondly, I thought that sometimes saying nothing says more than saying something, if you know what I mean. Sometimes power is in silence, and I absolutely said nothing. You could hear a pin drop, and my son said nothing either. It was just like she hit a brick wall. And I really wanted to say, that's my nephews and niece, you know, my nephews and niece you're talking about. That's my flesh and blood. And I was really, you know, I was really angry. And ever after that, I wasn't particularly keen on her, really, to be honest. She was very quite short-tempered. Again, I didn't think this was a very good trait for a social worker. She was quite abrupt. She was rude to people when we were out. I had to go to Job Centre Plus. I can't even remember what for. And when you go in there, you're not allowed in there with an escort. Even when, so I went in, and I was allowed to take my son in, because he was a minor. But she wasn't allowed in with me, and they tried to tell her to get out, and she refused to go. And they said, go out the back, because they're really strict on things like that now. I did have a bit of interaction with them once before when I went with my older son, and they tried to make him go out, but I had forms to fill in, and I know this is a different topic. And I said, well, are you? And they didn't seem like they were going to come and fit. I said, well, are you going to fill these forms in for me then? Anyway, they did let him stay. But this woman, they tried to make go, because she didn't need to be there. I was with my son, and I had my guide dog, and she could have just waited outside. But she really argued with them. And then she started using her phone in there, which, again, you're not allowed to do. And in the end, they had to go and get security and say, "Can you?" And first, before that, she went over. this was the awful bit. She went away from me because I was in like a cubicle, and she stood near the back entrance exit, I think, and she was using her phone very loudly. And he came in, and one of the people came up to me that worked there and said, "Can you do something about this woman? I mean, she's with you. Can you tell her to go, please?" And I said, "Well, she is with me." I think they thought it was my mother or something. I said, "Well, she is with me, but she's not a relative of mine. She's only here as my escort." I said, "I can't tell her what to do." I said, "You've seen what she's like." Anyway, I can't remember what happened in the end, but I don't think she went. And that's just, she's bald-headed. And so I didn't particularly care for her. But after that, she had the nickname, because I told my husband all about it, because it was before he came to the UK. And I told my sister as well. I didn't broadcast it widely, but they were horrified. And ever after that, when I referred to her, I never referred to her by her name anymore. I'd say to my husband on the phone, "Oh, I've got an appointment. I've got to go somewhere with brown babies today." That became her nickname. So that's the sort of thing... I think my sister's probably been up against. I don't know how she's coped. She's never really talked much about it, but I don't know how it must make her feel inside. I think, her daughter, a couple of years ago, was on a bus with my youngest son, because they're quite close, and they were on the top deck of a double-decker bus, and suddenly this bloke started really racially abusing my niece. She hadn't even done anything, but he was just saying, "You N, you horrible little N, you slut," and all that. And, you know, she was about 14 at the time. You know, she was well underage, you know what I mean? Some of the things he was saying was disgusting. I don't know whether he was drunk or on drugs or what. And so, of course, my her friend that was with another girl and my son got involved, and they started shouting at him and saying, "You're disgusting, you filthy pervert," and calling him all the names under the sun. And he got off the bus, but they actually knew that he was an acquaintance of my niece's dad, who, if you remember, is black. So they went and told him about it, and then he bumped into him, and at the time he said, "Here, I want a word with you. What's this about you've been racially abusing my daughter?" He said, "Yeah, I don't. Why? What are you doing? What are you talking about, mate? I haven't done anything like that." He said, "Yes, you did. I think it was on the number 51 or 51 bus or something like that, on a double decker. She was with her cousin." He went, "Oh," and he put himself right in it. "I didn't know that was your daughter. Well, what? I'm sorry, mate. You know, what does it matter whose daughter it is? You know what I mean? What does it matter whose daughter it is?" And so I don't know how it's, you know, it really, I feel very strongly about it. And it's one thing that I really can't get my head round. And I'm glad I don't have to deal with it with my own kids. But as I say, it's bad enough with my nephews and niece, because I can't understand it. I think I fundamentally don't know where they're coming from. And I'm so glad that my parents didn't bring me up to be like that, because obviously this all comes from, it's passed down, it must be. There's no other way for it. It must be passed from generation to generation. And there's no other explanation for it. You're not born racist. Nobody is. So I'm so thankful to my parents that, I know that sounds a silly thing to say, but I am. Because I can't understand it. I cannot get my head around it at all. Not at all. I just don't understand it. And I know it's not just black on white, and I know there's different sects in different cultures within, and different tribes within cultures. And, you know, I don't like any of it. And I don't understand any of it. But I believe live and let live. But as for this old lady, I don't know what they're going to do about her. And I'm sorry this has been a bit serious, but it was just, well, very upsetting for me, really. I think it was more so for me than for him. I don't think he liked it. More that she just went on all night and he didn't get a break from it. But anyway, I'll let you know what happens. But I don't think he's going to be going back till next week now. We're not really sure. But he's thinking of becoming permanent staff there, 2 nights and 2 days, and then giving up the community stuff, because it's more hours and obviously the money's better. So it looks like that's the way forward, really, rationally. And if they can't find enough grounds to move her from the home, he'll just have to get used to it. I suppose they all will. It's not just him, it's everyone's got to deal with it. The other residents too. You can't even say, oh, stay in your room, because they can't. You certainly can't lock somebody in their room. You can't do that. I don't know what the answer is. I really don't. I'm baffled. I've never really thought about it before. I know there's problems with people with dementia, because I've had it in my family with my granddad and my ex-mother-in-law, and you know, they try. You have to make sure all the doors are secure, because they go out sometimes and they don't. Sometimes they're not wearing appropriate clothing if they've got any on at all. And I've never really thought of the abusive side of it. If they turn nasty, shall we say, not just turn nasty. She's been nasty from the minute she got there. And whether it's because she's unsettled, I don't know. I've been trying to think of it from her point of view too. Maybe she'll settle down in a couple of days, but I think she might just be that type of person. And it's very sad, really. I wonder what sort of life she's had, if that's how she's been all her life. Anyway, apart from that, day's been fine. I will get back on track going out, but it's really been like November outside. It's pretty horrible. It's been grey, really windy. I tried to do a recording on my landing, but the microphone's not sensitive enough. I don't know where it comes from, but you get a really bad draft sometimes. You can't really feel it, but you can hear it. I think it might be because one time long before I've lived here, there was underfloor heating, and there's vents in the floor downstairs, and there's vents in the cupboard where I keep all my dialysis boxes, and they go right up to the roof. And that's obviously been all taken away now, but the vents are still there. And I presume they were probably built in with the house. And I think it whistles through there, and it really sounds creepy. It goes, ooh, I hate it, it's horrible. And over the winter, when we had all the gales and storms and the rain and that, it was constantly doing it, but it hasn't been like that for a while. But today, I tried to go on the landing and record it, but it didn't pick it up at all. So obviously the microphone is, yeah, I think the iPhone microphone is quite sensitive, but obviously not sensitive enough for that. Because that's Obi's phone. Anyway, he must be charging, because he normally keeps it with him at all times. Okay, I better go and tell him that his phone rang. Okay then, folks, I will love you and leave you, and tomorrow I will definitely be on the road when I do my recording. It might not be my next recording, but it certainly will be my audio mo. And please excuse me going on about all this stuff. I hope I haven't offended anybody, and I hope maybe I'm a bit overreactionary about it, but I think it's just because my husband's new to the UK, so all this is quite new to me, having to deal with it. It's the first time. I've been expecting it. You know, I've been expecting them. You know, there's always this thing about the police are more likely to stop and search a young, a black man. And my husband still looks quite young, I've been told. Not like a teenager or anything, but, you know, when he's walking around on his own, he said that one of the community police officers followed him a long way one day. And then when he came here, I mean, she might have just been on her beat, but he seems to run into them quite a lot. And, I don't think I ever told anyone on audio mo, or did I? I don't think so. I think it might be before I started doing audio mo. Audio boo. I can't get this right. He went to a client's house. He had to be there at 8 o'clock. And he got there at 7:30, because it was and it wasn't the first time he'd been there, but he left here and he walked. It was the other side of Orpington, past the War Memorial end. I'm the other end. And we're the other end. He got to their house at 7:30. No, I think it was about 7:40, but he's not allowed to knock on the door till within 15 minutes. He can get there 15 minutes early or 15 minutes late, but if he gets there earlier than 15 minutes, he has to wait outside. So he was waiting for this 5 minutes to pass. Or it might have been 10. It wasn't long anyway. So he was just standing out in the garden on his iPad or something. I don't know. Or he might have been sitting on the wall. I mean, I suppose it did look a bit suspicious. But apparently the next thing, a police car drove past. he said there was a man and a woman, they were looking at him, and then they turned around and came back the other way, and they pulled over and they came and they asked him what he was doing. They had to give his name and everything, and he said, we've had a report that you're acting suspiciously, and he laughed. I mean, he thinks things like that funny. And he said, oh, really? Anyway, he told him why he was there. He showed him his ID card and his badge and everything. And they were satisfied, obviously. And he said, do you want to wait while I go up to the door? Because obviously the woman, the man's wife that he helps, would recognise him and let him in. And he said, no, that's fine. But actually he insisted. He said, come on. He said, come on, see, and, you know, and watch me go in. So he made him wait while he knocked on the door, and they let him in, and she let him in, and that was fine. But I've been waiting for this kind of thing, because it's been in the news so many times, and I suppose I'm probably a bit paranoid about it now. You know, when he's walking around on his own, I think, oh dear, I hope he doesn't get stopped and searched and all that. Yeah, that hasn't happened. He has, you know, he'll greet them. You know, he often sees the police around, he says hello to them and that, and they're friendly enough. Except these ones, but that, and someone, obviously one of the neighbours, had seen him hanging around, and I suppose he could have been up to no good, but it wasn't night time, it was in broad daylight. I know that doesn't really mean much nowadays, but actually, would they have done it if it had been a white person outside a house? I don't know, maybe they would, but a lot of me says that they probably wouldn't have done. So, I've already been on the lookout for all this, and it came in a very unexpected form, actually, from an old lady who you probably would think is a harmless old lady, but she's got a mouth on her like a viper, apparently. Anyway, I'm going. I'm really off this time. See you later.